Today on Media Lure Sandwich,
we take a ride with
Rideshare, the movie.
Check us out October 13th, Friday the 13th is the premiere on Amazon.com.
I dare you to watch it.
Welcome to Media Lure Sandwich. With me today is William from
AllAboutWilliam.com.
Mark Monster from
CrazyMark.com.
And I'm Scotty Miley, better known as Toden, from Toden.com, YouTube.com/ToadenK. And this is Media Lure Sandwich from MediaLureSandwich.com. You can find us all over the place. If you're watching us on YouTube, please hit that subscribe. Hit that bell so you know when we come up with new videos. And just follow us wherever you want to follow us. But today, we're going to be talking about a subject where we don't want to necessarily follow us. We got two very special guests with us. First, we have Trayman. Go ahead, tell us about yourself.
Trayman.
I'm sorry. Yes,
it's okay. Trayman Hayho. What's up, guys? I'm Trayman Hayho. I'm the writer and director of a movie called Rideshare. It's coming out everywhere Friday the 13th of October.
Sweet.
Yes. And then to my right. I don't know, left if you're looking at me, whatever. He's over there. That's Brad Mann. He's the star of Rideshare.
What's up?
Applause. I'll give you applause, Brad Mann.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank
you. Applause over there.
Oh, thank you. Applause yeah. Over there. My name is Brad the Laborman, and I am the star, I guess, of the movie. It feels weird for me to say I'm the star of this. I would say I'm the lead in this movie. I am the lead in Rideshare, the movie coming out October the 13th, Friday the 13th.
Do we have permission to show the trailer?
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right, so we're gonna go ahead and watch the trailer right now.
Hollywood, a busy night.
Overnight, a city gripped with fear.
One victim so far. They think there might have been other victims.
There's something definitely wrong with that person.
That's really scary.
Is it some type of poison or some type of drugs?
Hollywood already watching out for their own safety.
Investigators say the suspect randomly chose his victims.
This is your worst nightmare, where you have somebody just driving around killing people.
The 45-year-old white male.
He's 45 years old.
No criminal history. Obviously someone that's going to go out and commit these type of crimes in succession like he did, you know, it obviously calls to question somebody's mental capacities.
Any part of town you're in, whatever you do, just be careful.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
Toad, man. That's some cool stuff. I wonder where this horror is going to go.
I think someone likes the use of fading in and out of black a lot.
So Brad, you got to spoil this here, man. How many bodies do you take during this flip?
Oh.
You have to watch. Yeah. I lost track.
Cause dude,
we'll
man,
put it that way.
On film,
yes, I did.
Spoilers.
Because yeah. dude, man, you look so maniacal on the trailer. Great job.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I think we had Trayman had a look he was going for, and we had a good girl doing makeup. Her name was Frances. She did an amazing job with the makeup, and we went out and found bits and pieces of costume that we thought would work for it, and put it all together, and it turned into this look, and it was very weird when I first put it on, because my younger brother looks older than me, and it looked like my brother, and I sent my mom a picture. I was really good about it. Like, nobody could have pictures, but to me, I don't think to make care, like, sent my mom, because she wasn't showing anybody. But I was just like, I think this looks like my brother. And she goes, I don't see it. And then like a few weeks later, she told, because he drives Uber. And she said, you might not be able to drive Uber once this movie comes out, the more I think about it.
I showed the trailer to a handful of people getting some other opinions. And one of my friends told me, you know, she drives Uber and Lyfts and all that. Doesn't drive, but she's been in so many of them. She said she will never accept water from her driver ever again after just watching that trailer.
Wow. Wow. Just wow.
So the bad guy in the film, is he a law student? I'm just joking.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's kind of what we're going for. I mean, you know, obviously I don't want to deter anyone from using a rideshare application.
But the trailer really looks beautiful. How did you film it? Like, what cameras did he use? Can you describe kind of what kind of look you're going for?
Yeah. So it's on a Red Epic Dragon. So yeah, same cameras I used for The Hobbit, for the latest James Bond movies. So I wanted it to look like a movie, and a good friend of mine is a director of photography, and he owns a Red Epic, so it worked out. And just kind of going for a raw handheld look. I'm not looking for a super polished, you know, looking movie. You know, but at the same time, it is polished.
It looked great, I thought.
Yeah, I was about to say, coming from the perspective of cinematography, you handled your darks really well in that trailer. Very well done.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, when it wasn't already, like, crossfading in and out of dark, there were a couple of shots there. I'm not sure if it actually came out of the crossfade. and I got that comment from somebody, too.
Yeah. No, I've definitely gotten that. That to me, I don't know. I got a little bit silly with the crossfading.
Yeah, I was wondering, how serious were you going? Are you going a little bit campy or all the way serious?
I mean, there's definitely a lot of elements of campy. I mean, there's a lot of humor in it, you know. So we know what we are. We know it's not like, you know, $100 million production, but at the same time, I think a lot of it is very real and kind of hits more home. And like, all the characters are based on real people, so whether they're funny, quirky characters or, you know, creepy characters or what have you, they're all based off of real people. And I wanted people, like, as an, like, for audience, I want people to see it and they be able to relate to it.
Now, I have a question here for you. What is your inspiration for this film?
You know, actually, so last year I was 29, the ripe age of 29 years old. And I always wanted to make a movie my whole life, right? My whole life I wanted to make a movie. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm about to turn 30. You know, what the hell am I doing? I haven't made a movie yet. So basically, I've done freelance production since graduating college, and even in college. And I always made, like, in school, I always made silly excuses to make short little, you know, films or whatever. And you know, but I've been doing a bunch of freelance, getting pretty burnt out in LA, like doing other people's videos and stuff. And I like kind of hit the limit. I'd rather drive Uber or something than freaking, you know, do video stuff, which is my passion. Like, I love video stuff, but it got to the point where, like, I'm tired of having to answer to other people. I'm tired of having to other clients. Like, I'd rather freaking just drive. And then, you know, and then all of a sudden I'm like, wow, okay, all these conversations that I'm having with people, like, it's great. And then, you know, this would make a good movie. And, you know, lo and behold, it like a terrible thing happened. Someone was, you know, an Uber driver killed like 6 people overnight.
Right.
In Kalamazoo, Michigan. And
which isn't too far from us, but it's, you know, but our heart goes out.
Just, where are you guys, by the way?
Well, yeah, we're right outside of Detroit. We have a lot of ties to Detroit.
An insane amount of ties to Detroit.
Detroit?
This, you do like the D.
Yeah. Detroit. That was a cue.
I don't know what that is. I don't know what it was.
I'm sure Draymond talks about how much he likes the D on a normal basis.
No,
forgive
it's Tremaine. At least
Tremaine.
It's not Tremaine.
Right. I'm sorry.
Tremaine likes the D.
I got
sorry. So Tremaine likes the D.
Tremaine, yeah.
Tremaine. Exactly. Tremaine has love for the D.
He is in Detroit, guys.
Yeah.
Come on.
He is in Detroit. What else would it stand for?
Exactly.
You're born.
know. You know, I got it. And Tremaine, I got to agree with you on, because I was getting burnt out on projects too. And I started to pick up doing Uber to do Uber. You know, just as like, I want to get out of the house. It's either sit at home and watch Little House on the Prairie.
Which Wait, I, so you're actually driving an Uber?
Which I, oh, yeah, I have, done, I have, I do drive Uber once in a while.
Okay.
And it's, you know, and it's, I can say the same thing. It's like the conversations and things like that. It's like you're just people, especially in when you're in Los Angeles and you're trying to come up with creative stuff. Boy, people are just having conversations with you and they don't realize they're giving you ideas constantly.
You're going to take your bizarre Uber experience and call it into your creative.
I think it helped with being in the movie and playing a driver. I had had some experience being an actual Uber driver. And it made it easier to understand, you know, like the, how you have a conversation with somebody and, you know, because it's not something you just hop into. I mean, I'm sure you go, oh, I'm really personable and I hop into an Uber and it's really easy. But it really takes time to develop, like, how you interact with people and what you want to say to people and, you know, reading people's cues on if they want to talk to you and if they don't want to talk to you and stuff like that.
Hey, would you like a bottle of water or, hey, like a bottle of water?
Hey, Tremaine says I do that really good, so.
He does. Should we tell him how you're
driving now? Somebody gets up to the car after seeing the movie and goes, I'll take the next one.
Yeah.
Tremaine, have you drove Uber as well or Lyft?
So I drove. Oh, yeah. I guess I'll finish where I got the idea. So I drove Uber and then, of course, that happened. And like everyone's always talking about it's so weird how like Uber kind of came out of nowhere. And like before, it was like, okay, don't get in a stranger's car. And then all of a sudden, a year later, 2 years later, everyone's like, oh yeah, let me get in all the strangers' cars, you know?
Yeah, what a strange time we live in. Same thing with the internet. Don't use your real name. Don't talk to strangers. Don't get into strangers' car.
Don't film your family. You know, now we have like family vloggers and stuff like that on YouTube, like all that stuff. It's like, yeah, always, yeah, be a persona. Don't take a picture or post it on Snapchat or people will know where you are. Yeah, I mean, all that stuff. And the thing is, like, I want to play into people's fears. You know, I don't want to deter people from taking Uber, but maybe next time they do it, they think about the movie. You know, so.
Well, you do a billion things. I know we're talking about, you know, a rideshare today, but, you know, I just want to give people a perspective. You have a lot of different projects going on. You both have your own audiences following you, or even at least a studio. You know, you recently had a show on YouTube and now it's on Amazon. Is it on Amazon Prime? Like you can watch it for free on Amazon Prime?
Yeah, you can watch the Chunky Zeta is a show I was working on and you can watch it on Amazon Prime. So I got the clearance to put it over on Amazon Prime and I was like, oh, this is a much better place for it. Especially because it's apparently more profitable over there than it's on YouTube. I was like, oh, this is a lot better. a lot better place for it. It is. Tremaine, just so you know, putting stuff on Amazon Prime tends to be a lot more profitable.
I know. Well, that's the thing is like for Rideshare, it's going to come out on Amazon initially. So Amazon Friday the 13th. It won't be on Amazon Prime just yet. It'll be available to rent by. And then...
And I think I've seen that with a lot of movies. It starts out as a, you know, rent it to, or buy it sort of scenario. And I think that's good.
Well, you do a billion things. I know we're talking about, you know, a rideshare today. But, you know, I just want to give people a perspective. You have a lot of different projects going on. You both have your own audiences following you or even at least a studio. You know, you recently had a show on YouTube and now it's on Amazon. Is it on Amazon Prime? Like you can watch it for free on Amazon Prime?
Yeah, you can watch the Chunky Zeta is a show I was working on and you can watch it on Amazon Prime. So I got the clearance to put it over on Amazon Prime and I was like, oh, this is a much better place for it. Especially because it's apparently more profitable over there than it's on YouTube. I was like, oh, this is a lot better. A lot better place for it. It is. Tremaine, just so you know, putting stuff on Amazon Prime tends to be a lot more
Maybe profitable.
Well, that's the thing is like for Rideshare, it's going to come out on Amazon initially. So Amazon Friday the 13th. It won't be on Amazon Prime just yet. It'll be available to rent, buy. And then, you know.
And I think I've seen that with a lot of movies. It starts out as a, you know, rent it to, or buy it sort of scenario. And I think that's good.
So, yeah, we dig the beard there, man. You know, keep it going. Just like, I guess, one of the guys, is the Astros or the Yankees, he kept his beard until they won the series or something, that pitcher.
Oh, okay. Oh, cool.
That was a couple of years ago.
I don't follow baseball.
The ball team.
But I'm down with that. I like that. I'll probably keep it, but I'll probably shave and trim it a lot, so.
So, I mean, you had your own YouTube network.
Yeah.
And now you're making movies. How does that happen?
Yeah. So I had partnered with Thunder Studios to put together a YouTube network. Long story short, that didn't happen the way it was. That just didn't happen, right? And we don't need to get into any of that right now, but I've always wanted to just make movies anyway, and that was such a frustrating process doing that. I'm just like, okay, you know what? If I weren't doing this, I just want to make a movie. So I had the opportunity to do so, and I just went after it. So I basically spent the last year of my life with Rideshare. Wrote it, raised the money, putting together Premiere, working with an editor in London. Doing everything, juggling.
Tremaine, I guess I don't know the answer to this. How long from when you had that bachelor party to the movie wrapped filming part? Would you say how long was that?
So the bachelor party was 4th of July, 2016. And then the movie wrapped on March 1st. So production wrapped on March 1st.
Yeah.
So, and then we've been editing it and been in post and getting the premiere together since.
Oh, guys, and I want to tell you, I mean, I was a diva a lot of the times on set. Okay. Because we would be doing late nights. Yeah. And I don't know if I was just trying to get into character or what the deal was, but sometimes I'd be very cranky, and I respect Tremaine for putting up with my diva-ish sometimes. But he ran a pretty tight 15-day shoot. I mean, it was. I've seen productions go like really long. I've seen productions go out of control. I think we went one day over what was planned, and that was it. But Tremaine did a good job of saying, "Here's where we're going to be. Here's what we're going to shoot." We shot out of order. He did a really good job of not giving any, like, I think him and I were, well, and Billy probably were the only people that had full scripts because
pretty much y'all kept it in the money out in the field.
Yeah. He did an amazing job on that. And what he says, he did a good job of not letting any of the other cast really see the whole movie. So nobody really knows the whole movie except for, I mean, I know it, but we also shot out of order, and there'd be days when he'd be like, all right, we're doing these pages. And some days I'd memorize them, and other days I'd just be like, huh? You know, sorry.
How many pages did you film a day?
We did anywhere between 4 pages a day, like on a really slow day. And then when we were cranking, we did 16 pages in one day.
Oh, yeah, we did. That was a long day.
Just to give an idea, the average Hollywood movie shoots usually 3 pages a day. You know, at most, maybe.
But this isn't your average Hollywood movie.
What?
This isn't your average Hollywood movie.
No.
This is above average.
It's great to give that average, though. You know, your average movie you see in theater shoots 3 pages a day.
That is great. Because, and the thing is like with that average, we're talking about people that have hundreds of millions of dollars, thousands of people. We have people that, you know, they have that tight schedule. Yeah, it's a lot more people, but they have every resource at their disposal, mm-hmm. and they shoot 3 pages a day. So, you know, I think we had a lot to our advantage because we didn't have a ton of locations. We kept the cast, you know, fairly to a minimum. But I mean, for what we had, we were able to really fly. And I think that's what it's all about, you know? So I mean, from what we did and what we made it for, I mean, I just, if I had another, like a fraction of what Hollywood has, I want to see what I could do with that. You know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, anyway, maybe make the movie. I don't know. Make whatever. I want to streamline the process, get the post-production done a bit better. But yeah, I think we did a good job. And it's all because of the cast and crew.
How big was the cast and crew?
We had a skeleton crew. I don't like people standing around on set. It's just annoying. There were people on their phones and stuff. I hate it. So the crew, we had a DP, gaffer, sound person, one PA / makeup, and then me. That was it. So there's five.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've done 48 hour shoots for competitions with a larger crew than that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he's laughing because he was part of that.
Part of one of them.
Yeah.
No, I know. I wanted to keep it to a minimum, and I guess six if you include Billy. Billy's a co-producer. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Billy out there.
And he'd make really good food.
Yes, Billy would make food. We had an RV, so that was like our trailer, and it was a pretty nice RV. And so we had a home base, you know, since like most of the movie is on, you know, in the streets of LA, you know, we didn't have like a set home base. Normally it was it was my apartment in LA, but I had three roommates. They had two dogs, and it was a two bedroom apartment in Hollywood. So like, feasible to have a cast and crew go there for home base was just not.
Did you borrow the RV? Did you rent it?
We rented it. Yeah, we rented it.
Wow. So was it worth it? Do you think the RV was?
Oh, 100%. It was so worth it. Like, yeah.
Billy, I agree.
Billy, the producer, was like, I'm like, dude, our budget is so freaking tight. He's like, dude, if you just did this, like, it would solve so many different problems. And he was absolutely right. Like, after we got it, I think we got it after like the third day of production. We're like, you know what, we're just going to do this. And we actually got a really good deal on it. So, and it was a 2015 RV, like pretty nice RV. And Billy knew how to drive it. So, so yeah, it was a lot of fun. We actually lived. Billy and I lived and slept in this RV for 2 weeks straight. We pulled, I pulled 18 or 18, 19, or 20 all-nighters in a row. We would literally go from like, yeah, we would go, yeah, it was insane. So like, I would get like on average like 4 hours of sleep at night, or during the day. I'd go to sleep at around 10 a.m., wake up at 2, prep for the day, start at 6, go till 6 a.m., and then the next 3 hours prepping for the next day, doing everything else, you know, unwinding and stuff, and then go to sleep 4 hours later, do it over again.
I mean, that's pretty much the production lifestyle.
That is a lifestyle.
I always think it's weird how people, you know, in production, we're all night owls, but we have to start working at the crack of dawn.
Right. Right. That is always ironic.
I think this was weird because it was the opposite though, because we were shooting every night from 6 at night to 6 in the morning. So, I mean, it was just, 12, 13 hour nights all night. And then, like, it really threw off my sleep schedule. Like, I wake up, like, after the movie was done for, like, a week, I couldn't figure out what time it was. Because you lose track of days because we would just go straight through. And I remember, like, shooting Monday and going, like, oh, my God, what a weird Monday. And it was, like, Saturday. Because you would,
you sort of have a day job, Brad. I mean, you
can. No. When I did this, I committed to it, and I was like, I'm not going to do, because I just couldn't. Because I just knew it. I put Zeta on hold while we were shooting this, and I put any of my other projects on hold while we were shooting this, and I just committed those and that's why I was like, because he said, look, it's going to be 15 days. And I was like, okay, if it's going to be 15 days, I won't do anything else. So
yeah, and I had, there was really no other way of doing it. There's had to be for me. I needed people to be full, like all in or all out, you know? So, yeah, I'm glad he was in and, we made it happen and, you know, he was paid for those days. So he's a paid actor for those 16 days.
Fantastic. So,
it was a weird how we like figured it out too. It was like a weird, I don't know. Because I don't think even Tremaine considered me for a movie to begin with. Because I was talking to him and I was like, hey, can I be an extra? And he was like, I don't know, maybe. And then
no,
he never.
What you said was like, you should put me in. You're like, put me in your movie or whatever. You like said that. And I'm like, okay. You know, I didn't really think. I was trying to think of where I could put you, but I wasn't. I didn't think of you at all as being in it. And actually, I wrote the part for another YouTuber friend of mine, like pretty big YouTuber friend, who'd always wanted to play a villainous role, you know, and this guy's a legendary YouTuber. And I sent him the script and I'm like, hey, I wrote this for you. I think you'd be great for it. And he said, no, he literally said, no, you know,
it's like, dude, I'm family friendly. I can't kill people.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, at the same time, I mean, it is a PG-13 movie. There isn't any blood. It's more suspense than anything.
Okay.
So, you know, and he'd always wanted to play like someone that's bordering the line of righteous and villainous. So like a villain, you know, like a Nurse Ratched or, you know, those villains that just bad guy. He wanted to play a bad guy, you know, but wasn't totally bad. Wasn't totally good. Anyway. But yeah, he said, no, he's like, oh, it's too much of a commitment, too much to do. You know, he was always saying how he wanted to be a lead. Like, yeah, I always want to be the lead. None of my friends want to give me a role or whatever. And I literally brought it to him on a silver platter and he said, no. But it's great because what happened was Brad, like I'm stressing out because we set the production date. I didn't have a lead. I didn't have a freaking lead. And like I had every other thing casted because I wrote it for most of my friends.
But
95% of all of them said yes, like immediately, except for the lead role. And
wow. Then, so Super Brad Man jumped in.
No. What happened was I was at Trejo's Tacos in Los Angeles, and I was like, I'm gonna go to Trejo's Tacos and have tacos for the first time, and I parked by this driveway. And this is weird how this got me in the movie. I parked by this driveway, and halfway through eating my tacos, this guy comes in and he says, "Whose car is that? Whose car is that? Move your car! It's blocking my driveway." And I go out to get the. I go out to move the car, and he's like, "You better move it. It's already on two flats." And I'm like, "What is he talking about? It's not on anything." And I was very confused what he meant. Turned out the guy had let the air out of two of my tires, which is stupid because then how can I move the car? So by the time I realized this, I've already driven and my tires have come off the rim. And so I pull into this gas station who had an air tank but didn't have a working air tank. And so I'm stuck in Hollywood. I don't know what to do. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to call Tremaine because I know he lives around here. And then we just ended up – that's how we started hanging out that night. And then we fixed the tires and we started talking about the movie. And then I don't know what terrain
you take. So I'll take it from there. Yeah. So he, you know, he's like, hey, can you come help me out? You know, I'm here. I'm like, oh, why don't you just get AAA? And he's like, AAA is going to take like 3 hours. I'm like, oh, okay, well, he's right down the road. I can go help him. And he's like, well, how have you been? I'm like, to be honest, I'm stressing. And he's like, why are you stressing? I'm like, I'm stressing because I'm trying to find the lead in my movie. And then Brad's like, oh, I'll let you lead. I'll read for your lead. You know, I'll do that. You know, just like, it was like, oh, yeah. I'll go pick up your dry cleaners from, you know, from the you know, store or whatever. I'm like, yeah, sure. Okay, yeah, whatever. And and then he's like, no, let me read. I'm like, you know what, whatever. I'll give him a shot. Why not? You know, I've got, you know, nothing to lose here. So the more I talk about him, by the way, Brad drives a Prius. The main character in the movie drives a Prius.
He wanted my car. He said, hey, can I borrow your car for the movie? And then we got into the subject of like, I just want everybody to know, just so everybody knows, I am classically trained actor. I know that I wear a dress. I wear a dress sometimes and do videos and things like that. But I do have some. I do have a large theater background. So just so everybody knows.
Yeah. So he. I'm like, you know what? Why not? You know, let's let him read. And then he's like, oh yeah, you know, yeah. I Uber drive part time. I have a Prius. And I'm like, oh wow, all this stuff is like adding up. And then he's like, hey, you know what? Let's do this. Let's read it. And he started reading it in his living room. And then, you know, we're like, you know what? Why don't we go in your car and do a reading? And I sat in the back seat. I sat in the back seat and he did a reading of it. And I got the chills. And then we went in. We went inside. And he's like, what do you think? You know, what do you think? And I'm just like thinking. And I'm like, well, I only have one question to ask you. He's like, what? I'm like, do you want to be the lead in this movie? I just asked him, and he's like, yes. Yes, I do. So just like that.
Oh, no way. Brad probably was like, I told you should put me in this movie. I already told you that.
No, I was very humble.
No, he was.
I was very grateful. I mean, I don't think – it's not one of those, like, you wrote the part for me, let's do it for free. I feel like I earned the part, which is what I'm very happy about. And that's one thing I get to say about it. It's like, oh, yeah, I earned this part because it wasn't even written for me. So
right. Yeah, and it wasn't like – I was like, oh, yeah. It wasn't like, oh, yeah, Bradman can play it. I hadn't even thought of it.
Because Tremaine's only seen me in a dress. So, I mean, that's – just to be fair.
Story.
Yeah.
No. Actually, I only saw you from doing Periscope live stuff. So that's all I knew. I knew you as a Periscope live streamer.
Did
as much acting, and then you told me about, you know, how you used to do it. You ran the theater, right? Back in the day.
Yep.
Anyway, so yeah, so that was crazy, like how that worked, and that was like such a relief because I found the lead, and then like the whole process. There's always like one of these stories throughout the whole. Like in pre-production, there's a story like that. In production, there's a story like that. And now, literally, another story for post-production like that. I'll save it for later because, you know, it's a little bit
Yeah, longer. We're running a little bit short on time here. I do want to ask you, you know, because you shot so much in the car with the red. How did you get the red in there? Like, did you mount it outside the car or how did you do that?
Yes. So we did. We had a yogi director of photography. We literally had camera, we had sound, we had an actor, you know, we had Brad in the car, another actor in the car, and myself, all in the Prius.
Yeah, it was insane.
The windows, please tell me, were the windows at least down? I mean,
there was a lot of times where there was a lot of times we couldn't run the heater because it was making too much noise.
Right.
And so we'd have to like take breaks because the windows were starting to fog up and things like that. And there were a lot of times where I couldn't see because they'd be like, look in the rearview mirror and hold the rearview mirror a certain way and keep your eyes in the rearview mirror. And then I've got Jesse filming and he's like blocking my other mirror. And there'd be times where it was like very weird to drive because like, you couldn't see. It's like, what was going on?
Were you actually driving during it, or?
There was some times when there was some driving times. I think, you're shooting a movie
there
about.
Some driving times, like the whole movie.
Yeah, I mean, you're shooting a movie about driving. And that's what I think it makes it real. Because it's not just me on some flatbed truck driving around.
Yes.
It's like real Hollywood driving around experience.
Yeah, but you drive around, you can't see out the windows.
You should have seen the fair. You should have seen the fair when it was all done because I left the Uber meter running.
Yeah.
No.
So go ahead and promote the movie and tell us where we could find the movie, or if you want to promote something else, go ahead and give us those websites.
Awesome. So you can find the movie at rideshare.co. It will be on amazon.com. If you type in rideshare movie, it'll be available on Friday, October 13th. Follow us on Instagram at Rideshare Movie, Facebook at Rideshare Movie. If you type in Rideshare Movie, it'll come up. Check out our IMDb, see the cast and all that stuff. We got some pretty girls in there. Any guys out there? We got some pretty guys out there too for any girls or guys out there, whatever.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful cast.
Yeah, great.
And then me.
Exactly.
A beautiful cast. Everyone's beautiful. The villain's going to get in the end.
So, yeah.
Bravin, would you like to promote yourself?
I just, you know, check. Well, I want to make sure everybody checks out the movie. Make sure to check it out on October 13th, Friday the 13th. And, you know, also, just if you want to follow me on social media, I'm Bradman TV on social media. And you can follow me on social media on all the platforms. Any platform that's a platform, just look up Bradman TV and I'm there.
And hey, make sure everyone
thank
at
you
home.
Guys for coming on. I mean, I've hung out with both you guys at different YouTube conventions. And, you know, I just want
to and the same one, on. Right?
To me when you're promoting the movie, that's I really appreciate that.
Absolutely. By the way, follow these guys. Watch this podcast. Hit that like button. Subscribe. The greatest podcast in the history of the galaxy.
Yes, this is the greatest podcast ever. And I have a podcast. So, I'm going to say your podcast is better. Yay, your podcast.
Better than my podcast.
Yes.
I also got to thank Zoom because this meeting was supposed to only be 40 minutes, but Zoom actually sent me a message during it. And they're like, oh, by the way, we're giving you unlimited meeting. They were going to make this meeting unlimited for you. So
that was nice of them.
Extending us past that 40-minute time period, allowing Trayman to go ahead and finish
Trayman.
Trayman. One day, you'll get it.
You're going to throw day. Something at
oh
me.
Oh, my God. Toden. Toden. Toden.
Toden.
Trayman.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and fight Godzilla now.
Hold on, Godzilla.
All right, you guys. Have fun in Michigan, right? Where you guys are in Michigan, right?
Yep. We're Detroit, Michigan.
Detroit? What are you guys have planned the rest of the day? Or the night, I guess.
And exactly. Mark Marshall with us, and you can find him at
crazymark.com. And by the way, cheers to prosperity of your new film.
Hey, thank you. Cheers, guys. Cheers.
And for once, we're not saying it's all about William, although you can find William at
allaboutwilliam.com.
William, I feel like we don't even know who you are. I want to get to know you.
He was so quiet. He was so quiet and in the middle.
Uh-huh. I tend to be. It's a running joke now.
It's okay. We'll get
and if anyone wants to talk about the running joke, they can always comment, rate, subscribe, all that good stuff on any of our social media. Media Alert Sandwich does have a community group on Facebook, as well as a page you can like us at, where we are actually posting exclusive clips on now from the show. And you can find me at Toden.com and YouTube.com/ToDenK. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed our discussion, and may the algorithms be in your favor and audience.
That's right. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
You guys are awesome. Love you. I love you guys. Bye.
Bye.